Hosanna. Anyone know what that means? Hosanna? Anyone? Save us. That's right. It means save us. We're saying Hosanna, and we're celebrating today the good news that Jesus saves us. So wave your palm frond and celebrate the good news. Hey, well, good morning, everyone. My family just got back from a spring break trip to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. Talk about celebration. I was thrilled to discover when we got there that Disneyland has brought back, after 20 years away, the Main Street Electrical Parade. Anyone ever see the Main Street Electrical Parade? I figured some of you have seen this before. I love this thing. It's the exact same parade that I saw when I was a kid back in the 70s, and I went to Disneyland. The exact same parade. No one manipulates our emotions quite like Disney and gets us back to childhood quite like Disney. But it's the same thing. It's Peter Pan. He's all covered in lights, and he's having the exact same sword fight with Captain Hook. And then there's Snow White, and she's all lit up like a Christmas tree, right? And she's followed by the exact same seven dwarves right down Main Street. And then my absolute favorite, my favorite float in the whole parade, anyone know? 15 feet tall dragon, Elliot, the dragon from Pete's Dragon. Oh, man. I felt like a kid again, sitting there watching the parade. Now, Disneyland stopped moving twice a night, at 8:30 p.m. and 10:30 p.m., because the parade was coming through Disneyland, and everyone froze in their tracks. About 10,000 people just didn't move because the parade was coming through. People were powerless, the way that moths are powerless in front of your porch light when 600,000 twinkling lights came cruising down the street. People were frozen, and they had to watch the parade, because that's the point of a parade. The parade is designed to make you stop what you're doing and pay attention. I'm sure there were a couple teenagers that ran over to Space Mountain to ride it like three times while everyone else was distracted, but most of the park stood fast, and they watched the parade. Now, this morning, we turn to the Gospel of Luke for Jesus' parade into Jerusalem. Now, Jesus, he didn't have any floats in his parade. Jesus didn't have a single light bulb, much less than half a million light bulbs twinkling. And Jesus wasn't promising a magical kingdom like Walt Disney does, no. Jesus just rode into town on a colt, on a humble donkey. And the entire city of Jerusalem came out to scream, Hosanna! Save us! Because they were hoping that Jesus was going to go grab the throne of his ancestor, King David, take over Jerusalem, and kick the Romans out of town. The crowd waved their palm branches. They said, Hosanna. They said, save us. And the people of Jerusalem were willing to follow Jesus anywhere until he turned toward the cross. Then all the people that liked him, all the people that were cheering his name, dropped their palms and went away. They didn't like where the parade was headed. Jesus marched on Jerusalem not for our amusement, not to satisfy anyone's political ambition, but to lead us into eternal peace. Hear the good news, that if we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we will discover heavenly peace, peace that is beyond our understanding, peace beyond anything we have discovered in this world. Hear the good news that comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 42. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known this day, what would bring you peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. God's word. Thanks be to God. Everybody loves a parade, especially the ancient Romans. Whenever there was a great military victory throughout the Roman Empire, they would throw something called a triumph. It was a huge parade entering into the city of Rome, and people would spend sometimes up to 3 days watching a parade. Have you ever been to a parade? Imagine being at a parade for 3 days as they just kept coming and coming. Oh, my goodness. And they kept screaming and they kept yelling because Rome was really invested in this bit of propaganda called Pax Romana. This idea that through military power, they were bringing peace on earth. Pax Romana. And so everyone came out to celebrate. Yay! The generals have brought us peace on earth. Now, in these triumphs, there was an established order for how you paraded into town. First came the captive soldiers headed on their way to execution. I know, it's not a very peaceful parade if the first people in the parade are going to be killed. Then, after them, would come all the weapons and all the armor and all the shields that were captured from the enemies. After that came the captured civilians. They were headed to the slave market. People were watching the parade thinking, oh yeah, maybe I'll buy that one. That's what you did in the ancient world. Sometimes they would even bring the humiliated king and march him through town to make sure that everyone knew that Rome had really crushed that guy under their thumb. Then came the spoils of war, all the gold, all the silver that they had won. And after that, the Roman soldiers got to parade through town, but not with their weapons. All their swords, all their armor, their shields were taken away so that we wouldn't cause any trouble in Rome itself. They'd done enough violence. Don't bring that violence back home with you. That was what the parade was. People celebrated peace on earth through the power of the Roman military. Now, parades often save the best for last. You ever watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? What comes last at the Thanksgiving Macy's Day Parade? Santa Claus! On Thanksgiving, we got to skip right ahead to Christmas, right? Santy! He comes last at the Thanksgiving Day Parade because he's the most important. Even more important than the inflatable Snoopy, Santa Claus. At the Main Street Electrical Parade, I was kind of expecting Mickey Mouse to be at the end. But no, no, no. The folks at Disney are way too savvy for that. No, they don't put Mickey at the end. They save something more important than Mickey Mouse for the end. You know what the last float is? It's the biggest float. It has the most lights. It's 118 feet long. It's hard for them to even turn it around in Disneyland. You know what the last thing is in the Main Street Electrical Parade? It's a giant flag. It's the huge, enormous American flag. It was built right after the bicentennial in 1976. Remember how patriotic things were back in 1976? You save the best for last. And in the same way with these Roman triumphs, the last thing in the parade was the Roman general that led them to victory. Now, the general would put on a purple toga. We talked about the color purple 2 weeks ago, how that was a symbol of great wealth and power. It was embroidered with gold. He would wear a pair of clashing red boots and a crown made of green laurels that told everyone that this guy was really a successful guy. And his face would be painted red to make him look like a pagan god. I know, this is the sort of thing that happens in parades. You go over the top. This guy clashes, he is going over the top. And then he would ride through town in a chariot, a war chariot, pulled by four white horses, which were the symbol of victory in the ancient world. And he would have a slave in the chariot with him. They would keep on whispering to him and reminding him, remember, you're just a man. You're not a god. Because the people would sing hymns to him. They would praise him. They would thank him for being the giver and the deliverer of peace. And they would really start to believe, yeah, that's me. I bring peace to earth. It was such a potent thing, these parades, these ancient parades, that eventually the Roman emperor said, no more parades for generals. I get to be the guy at the end of the parade. I get to be the star of the show. This is about me. I bring peace to earth. Now, Jesus' parade into Jerusalem was modest compared to the three-day imperial triumphs. In fact, it's kind of like a photo negative of what the Romans did in their parades. The generals rode into Rome on a war chariot, but Jesus rode into town on a humble donkey. Roman generals wore a crown of laurels. That was high praise. Whereas Jesus was destined to wear a crown of thorns on his head. Roman generals mocked their vanquished enemies by marching them through the streets. But what do we hear in today's scripture? Jesus weeps for his opponents. He's not mocking them. He's weeping for his opponents. The Roman generals would go to the temple of Jupiter, and they would sacrifice two white bulls, perfect, flawless in every way, as a symbol of their victory. Jesus went to the temple of God, and he sacrificed his own body to make us right with God. He sacrificed his own flesh and blood so that we would be made righteous through his blood. The Roman generals pretended to be kings. They pretended to be gods for a day. But Jesus really is the Son of God who took on flesh in order to save us from death, to bring us to true peace. Now, the Romans had triumphal processions for great military victories, but the people of Jerusalem weren't celebrating Jesus the warrior. They're celebrating Jesus the miracle worker. Other than Jesus and the borrowed donkey, the Bible never tells us who followed along on this parade. I mean, I think we can assume that the 12 disciples were marching along in the parade. But who else? Who else was marching with Jesus into Jerusalem that day? There are a lot of people in the Gospel of Luke that discovered peace by developing a relationship with Jesus Christ. I wonder if they were in Jerusalem the day of Jesus' big parade, his big moment. Last week, Pastor Randall preached on Zacchaeus, that wee little man who had his life changed by encountering Jesus. I wonder if he was in the parade. They let a misfit like that march through town. Or how about the blind beggar who came to Jesus to say thank you after he was healed? Or how about the Samaritan leper? Or how about the mute man who was given the power of speech? How about Mary? How about Martha? How about the boy who was possessed by a demon How about the sinful woman who washed Jesus' feet? How about the bleeding woman? How about the girl who came back from the dead? How about the Roman centurion who had his servant healed by the mercy of Jesus? How about the paralyzed man who learned how to walk again? How about the 5,000 people who were fed out in the wilderness when they had nothing to eat by the miracle of Jesus? We don't know who was in Jerusalem that day, but it's fun to imagine which of these misfits who followed Jesus because he gave them peace, he gave them new life. What a misfit parade he was bringing into Jerusalem with him. Makes you wonder which of these people who had their lives changed by the gospel showed up for Jesus' big day. It's no wonder the people of Jerusalem laid out the red carpet for Jesus by throwing down their clothes, their cloaks. They wanted their own miracle. It's no wonder that the disciples sang a song of coronation, "Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They wanted a leader who would save them from their misery. No wonder the crowds serenaded Jesus with the words, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Jesus and his band of merry misfits entered Jerusalem full of new life and full of heavenly peace. Leave it to the Pharisees to rain on Jesus' parade. They start complaining, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." You see, they knew what happens when you start to threaten the power of Rome. They know what happens when you start to question Pax Romana, that the Romans were in charge of bringing peace on earth. They didn't want this parade to continue on anymore because they didn't want to make the Romans mad. They knew that if they felt that their Roman emperor was being threatened for authority and power, that they would come down and they would crush the city of Jerusalem. And so they begged, they pleaded, "Tell your disciples to be quiet. Stop pretending to be a king. We can't afford that kind of problem with the Romans." But Jesus refuses to silence his parade of followers. Jesus had zero interest in sitting on the throne of his ancestor, King David. But he does publicly acknowledge on Palm Sunday that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior of the world. But Jesus redefines what kingship is with humility and with service. Jesus wants to deliver us to genuine peace with God, our Heavenly Father, by taking away our sins and giving us eternal life. That's the way that peace changes the world, is by being in this Jesus parade, following in the footsteps of the Prince of Peace, and finding eternal peace with God. But first, the parade had to march toward the cross. Palm Sunday is a weird day. Have you noticed this? Palm Sunday is just the weirdest day. We start off the worship service waving our palm branches and saying, "Hosanna!" And then we just get led up through this entire Passion Week, this whole Holy Week, where Jesus goes to the cross. Everyone that was shouting, "Hosanna!" is one day going to shout out, "Crucify him," about Jesus. All the people who are waving their palm branches are going to wave their hands and say, "Forget this guy." The disciples who followed Jesus for 3 years are going to abandon him when they get to the foot of the cross. And all those people I just mentioned who had their lives changed by the gospel, all of them went away when the chips were down. And they let Jesus just be hung on the cross. And the parade came to a crashing halt at the cross. Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem ended in a complete disaster. Like a marching band without a drum major, the disciples scattered in 100 different directions. Some hid behind locked doors. Some escaped to Emmaus. Some ran off to Galilee. The disciples abandoned the parade route until some women told them the good news that Jesus is risen from the grave. I'll get to that story next week. That's Easter. We'll talk about that next Sunday. All you need to know today is that we all leave Jesus sometime. But Jesus always will make room for you to come back and rejoin the parade. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone, there's always room to rejoin the parade and follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. The Jews had an old blessing where they would say, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." It's a beautiful blessing. The meaning of it is simple, that may you be so close to your teacher that you are just absolutely covered in the dust they kick up as they are parading through town. If we're going to be covered in the dust of Rabbi Jesus, our teacher Jesus, it means that we're going to be covered in the dirt of the cross, the mess of the cross. You can't escape it. If you're going to have anything to do with Jesus, if you're going to follow in his parade of followers, you're going to have the same dust kicked up on you. It is not always a triumphal procession to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. If you're going to be covered with Jesus dust, you're going to be covered with the dirt of the cross. As it says in my sermon here, 36 Egyptian Christians were murdered in church this morning while they were celebrating Palm Sunday. It's actually not true. That's 45 was the last number I looked at right before I came in today. 45 people died in church just doing what you're doing today, celebrating Jesus' parade into Jerusalem. Another 100 Christians, our sisters and brothers in Christ, are injured in these bombings in two different churches, in these Coptic Egyptian churches. Jesus did tell us that if you want to follow me, if you want to be part of my parade, if you want to follow me, you need to pick up your cross, okay? That's what it takes. Jesus parades us right through the valley of the shadow of death, but that's not the final destination because Jesus leads us to resurrection and to glory. The Jesus parade is not your typical victory march. This procession triumphs over hatred with love. This procession triumphs over evil with goodness. This procession triumphs over death with eternal life. My friends, the only way we will ever discover peace, true peace, genuine peace, is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to join his parade, and to be led into eternity with his love. Amen.